Hi, it's Monday, November 22nd. I'm Carol Gold, and welcome to Think for Yourself. On my last podcast, I spoke about the Kyle Rittenhouse trial prior to verdict. And now that the verdict is out, there is a great deal that you can read and listen to elsewhere in terms of analysis of the verdict. Some think completely fair and just, and others thinking an abhorrent example of the injustice and disparity and discrimination and inherent systemic racism that exists within the justice system. I'm not going to go to either of those topics, but I do want to use the decision, and actually the case and the jury verdict, as one of the best examples in contrast to the O.J. Simpson trial that took place in 1995, one of the most clear distinctions between justice and social justice. And since we hear so much today about what social justice is and how we should all aspire to it, I'd like to make that distinction as clearly as possible. For those of you who may not be old enough to remember, in 1995, O.J. Simpson, then national football icon and actor, was charged with a brutal murder of his wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and a friend of hers, Ron Goldman, who had escorted her home that evening from a restaurant where they had been dining. The trial, the O.J. Simpson trial, riveted the nation. He had top-tier defense attorneys, and it was the focus every single day, just about every single day on the news. O.J. Simpson's trial, his criminal trial, went on for 8 months. There were 156 witnesses all told, and the jury deliberated for 4 hours. And came back with a not guilty verdict. In contrast, the Kyle Rittenhouse trial was approximately, 2 weeks long. There were approximately 25 witnesses, and the jury debated for 27 hours over 4 days. Think about that. An 8 month long trial with 156 witnesses, and the jury took 4 hours to acquit. A 2 week trial with 25 witnesses took 27 hours over 4 days to acquit. What's the difference, or are there similarities? Well, first of all, O.J. Simpson did not take the stand in his criminal trial, which is unusual if you have a highly credible witness, because in a defense case, you would put your client on the stand if he was credible. And you wanted the jury to understand his version of what occurred and to assess his credibility or her credibility for themselves. In fact, that is what happened in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. Even though it appeared to many that the prosecution had lost its case already at the conclusion of its presentation of the prosecution's case, Kyle Rittenhouse's attorneys nonetheless put him on the stand. And I believe it was very effective in terms of the jury being able to gain his perspective of what he believed was potentially happening to him or happening to him that night, and his credibility. There was a subsequent civil trial against O.J. Simpson brought by Ron Goldman's family. And in that trial, the Goldmans prevailed. Why? Because in a civil trial, there is no Fifth Amendment assertion right against incriminating yourself. You have to testify in a civil trial. You have the luxury and the option and the right under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution to not incriminate yourself and therefore not testify in a criminal trial. And so when a jury heard O.J. Simpson and got all the evidence, they found him to be liable for the wrongful death of Ron Goldman and awarded the family millions of dollars, which they've never been able to collect because Simpson has been very clever about hiding his assets or his subsequent income since he was acquitted of the criminal charge. Why contrast the two cases? Well, it's because the O.J. Simpson verdict of not guilty is the best example of social justice. Not justice, social justice. Meaning the following. The jury in the O.J. Simpson case, in those 2 hours that they allegedly debated the evidence, number one, it was impossible to truly discuss and debate and analyze 8 months and 156 witnesses in 2 hours. But also because the jury admittedly said that it was basically time to let a black man get away with murder in some kind of social compensation for all of the blacks who had been sentenced to prison in either instances in which they were not guilty, other than guilty of being black, or two, in all of those drug cases where the mandatory minimums for the use of crack cocaine, which is a poor person's street version of cocaine, versus the mandatory minimum sentences for powder cocaine, which is a middle and upper class version of the drug, was inherently unjust. And therefore, you had many more black men and women, I presume, languishing in prisons for longer periods of time for what was essentially the commission of the same crime. Social justice is a very nice concept conceptually. But what happened, if I can say that, if you can call a concept and say that it's a nice concept conceptually, I know you're not supposed to define a word by itself, but it came out that way, and I suspect you know what I'm saying. But let me elaborate. Social justice, if you think about it, is a nice aspiration. But as I have always said on my radio shows, in my writing, on my podcasts, you can't legislate morality. You can't legislate compassion. You cannot legislate the human heart, which is where that concept of social justice can emanate from. It has to emanate from the heart. It's not a mental decision, per se, that people make that or not make, and that you can thereby enforce by law. If we want to be more equitable in how we treat people, if we want to be more equitable and fair in how things play out in a culture or a society, it has to come from the hearts of individuals aspiring to that. You cannot legislate it. You cannot mandate equal outcomes. You can only legalize and make human rights under the Constitution as equitable opportunity, equal opportunity, not equal outcomes. Equal outcomes is equity, and that's what social justice seeks to do, among other things. Meaning, in the end, everybody winds up the same. Well, that's not possible, because everyone doesn't come to the table with the same talent. Everyone doesn't put in the same amount of energy. Everyone doesn't have the same capability to affect what it is that needs to be done. And so while everyone should have the same opportunity, you cannot mandate that everyone has the same outcome. You know, this concept of social justice ties in really well with the concept of collective salvation, which ties in really well to Marxist and communist and socialist ideologies. Because in essence, they all say the same thing. They all say that we are one, and therefore we should all rise or fall together. Well, it is true spiritually that we are all one. I often have done shows on that very topic of oneness in spirituality and how at a soul level we are all connected to a source, an original source. But when you take a spiritual concept and you then attempt to contain it within a legal construct, you don't wind up with the same outcome as if people's hearts had begun to understand the concept of spiritual oneness. You wind up with totalitarianism, authoritarianism, sometimes dictatorships. You wind up with the control of the masses by the few who benefit disproportionately to what the masses are subjected to. And ultimately, you wind up with enslavement of the masses, as has been the case throughout human history. Yes, we are humans and fallible. Yes, we are not perfect beings. And yes, we probably prosper better with a framework, but that at least for now, until our consciousness has elevated and our hearts have opened to understand how we are all responsible for one another, but not collectively. It's done individually. And so, yes, we need a framework, we need a paradigm, and the absolute best framework and best paradigm that has materialized yet in human history is the Constitutional Republic, is the Declaration of Independence, is the Bill of Rights. Social justice is an end run. It's a workaround. It's a dangerous workaround, that Constitutional Republic, and a dangerous workaround, that individual freedom that is mandated and guaranteed by the Constitution. Social justice is what got O.J. Simpson, a murderer, who committed two brutal murders, free, out playing on golf courses around the United States and owning his homes in Florida and wherever else, because they're exempt from attachment of court judgments such as the ones the Goldmans have. That's what social justice does. It is the whim of the masses at any particular point in time. It is the whim of the culture at any particular point in time. And it happens that cultures fluctuate and societies fluctuate, and it's why you need rights defined and consequences for violation of those rights and those laws defined. And yes, they can be imperfectly administered and applied, as has happened over time in the United States, but it is nothing compared to the abuses that nations like China and their treatment of the Uyghurs or other communist and socialist and Marxist cultures and societies that have oppressed and murdered and starved and beaten and tortured minorities with disregard for human rights or individual rights. We need that framework still until we are more elevated in our consciousness, until our hearts, as I said, are open to one another. The Rittenhouse verdict, as opposed to the O.J. Simpson verdict, the Rittenhouse verdict was justice. It was actually a brilliant example of how the system works. 12 people listened to all the evidence, determined the credibility of the witnesses. You had a quirky but fair judge, a Democratic appointed judge, who properly administered and adjudicated the case under existing law and the rules of evidence. And those 12 people went off, and there were one or two who clearly were not instantly inclined to acquit. And that's probably what a majority of those 4 days was comprised of. The other jurors convincing those two jurors that held out that he was in fact innocent of the crimes as they had been prosecuted and as they had been explained in the jury instructions. Now, if you recall and you listened to my last podcast, I said that even though I'm a conservative and I'm an attorney, when I listened to the evidence and I watched the whole trial, I had a problem with those extra 3 shots that went into Joseph Rosenbaum. And I said that if I were a juror, I would have had difficulty with that not being reckless disregard. But guess what? I would have been one of those 2 jurors who obviously felt similarly. But that is the brilliance of our jury system. We take 12 peers of the defendant. and we let them hear it all, and then we let them go back and among themselves make their arguments for why. And over time, in 99.999% of the cases, the juries get it right. Because intelligent debate and intelligent argument takes place among the people who are most suited to evaluate that evidence, not the media, not all the political hacks, not all the political jabbermouths that are out there, not the movie stars and not the politicians. The 12 people who sat in the room for the length of the trial, who determined the credibility of the witnesses, and who reviewed all of the evidence that they had heard and seen firsthand. Social justice, O.J. Simpson, a brutal murderer, walked because there was an attempt to hold an entire nation culpable and guilty for oppression of the African American community, and to decide that one brutal murderer got to walk free in exchange for all of that. That's social justice. Justice is that Kyle Rittenhouse is a free young man today because under the U.S. Constitution and the laws flowing therefrom, a jury of his peers rightfully evaluated the evidence and found him to be not guilty. Think about it. Think about what social justice is, what it creates, and then think about the brilliance of our justice system, albeit at times administered by humans and less than perfect, both in their humanity and in the execution of that system. Thanks for listening. I'm Carol Gold. I'll be back here again on Wednesday. And until then, by all means, think for yourself.